6 o'clock Monday night, and time to kick off Super Scoreboard on Clyde One.
Good evening and welcome along to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Jerry McCulloch. On the show tonight, bring on England. Chris Martin defies the boos to send Hampden into ecstasy. Now we're back in the mix with a Hampden clash with the old enemy coming up in June. Gordon Strachan says he managed to remain calm as the players had given him everything he asked of them. He then singled out Stuart Armstrong for having what he called the best Scotland debut he's ever seen. And with a veiled dig at the fans who have turned against him in the national team, Strachan says they will be available in June if you want to come and support them. So will you? Or did Chris Martin's late winner give you the bug back? Or do you still think it's too late for Scotland to get to Russia? Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here taking your calls on 0141 951 1025. You can tweet the show at Clyde SSB. Get involved. You were all quick to have your say last week. Most of it was negative, Hugh Keevans.
Yep.
What do you think the mood in the nation will be like tonight?
First of all, due credit to Gordon Strachan, Mark McGee and the players. In particular, Chris Martin, for overcoming the humiliation of being booed onto the park. So well done to them. I still think, Jerry, we're in the high dependency unit. I don't think that by any manner of means we have made ourselves any more likely to go to Russia for the World Cup finals. The game against England is absolutely pivotal for me. They have gone 33 qualifying ties, European Championship, World Cup, without losing, 33 in a row. So that's the depth of our task when we play them on June 10. We must get something from that game. It is absolutely critical to our hopes.
They haven't even lost a goal in this tournament, Hugh.
No.
You know, they're absolutely solid at the back. But listen, it's Hampden. It's the last chance saloon again when we'll play them in the summer. So, you know, why not? I mean, I watched that England game, and to be perfectly honest, I went out and made myself a cup of tea twice because it was so boring to watch. I mean, I know there was only one team wanted to win it. Yeah. It was the same in the Scotland game as well. And one team's going forward, other teams just defending, kicking the ball anywhere. You know, they're never pretty spectacles, but England have won these games. You know, they've got the players in the side that can win games. We didn't have that. We had a man that came on for 6 minutes last night and got the goal. And if he doesn't get that goal, then it's different headlines this morning. We're talking different here tonight. But you know what? We're maybe papering over the cracks, but the paper there is holding, and we've got another chance the next time we play England. So let's get you right. I think you've got to give them credit because they kept going. It might have been the 87th minute before we scored, but the game lasted 93 minutes and we won the game. Wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter. We got 3 points.
It's difficult to get, and it was difficult, as you'll hear, to get too much detail out of Gordon Strachan at the end of the game. He seemed to be not particularly enjoying the moment. There was elements of frustration, sarcasm in his voice, Hugh. But what was it about what he did and what the players did for you last night that gave Scotland a performance to be proud of?
The box we ticked was that we finally won a must-win game. I had been going on Saturday about Scotland not having won an important match since the defeat of the Republic of Ireland at Celtic Park in the Euro qualifiers. So we ticked a box last night. Gordon Strachan said it was a must-win game. We won it. Now we have to do what I think is essential with regard to qualification. We have to beat somebody that we're not expected to beat.
Yeah.
And that's England. And I've said 33 qualifiers in a row, undefeated. That's the strength of the English team. They're not any great shakes. This lot who played on Sunday are no great shakes. We're at Hampden. It will be a full house this time without question.
Yeah.
So it's our best chance.
I've been critical, you know, of the defenders and the strikers. I think our midfield's decent, to be fair. We've got a lot of good midfielders, but we can only play so many of them. We're certainly creating the chances, but just not take them away. On a better day, you know, Lee Griffiths could have scored a hat-trick. He should score with the first one, the volley, when he hits the bar. He's 6 yards out. The second one's a great effort with his right foot. He's unlucky, it hits the post. But we're not taking these chances, and that's what's cost us dearly in the past. The defence we can't talk about, because they were hardly in our half. You know, we only had one shot to save Craig Gordon, so we can't say anything about the back four, because they were never put under pressure. It'll certainly be different in June when we play England.
We're going to hear from Stuart Armstrong tonight, Andrew Robertson, Kieran Tierney, and we're going to hear from Josh and Irvin in just a second. But first though, let's hear from Scotland manager Gordon Strachan.
Quite calm now, quite calm during the game. I think you get a bit emotional when things are not going well with your team, but I can't complain about that at any time. All you can ask as a manager is go and do certain things. They did everything they were asked, and they pushed themselves to another level there. So it's always calm enough. Whatever will be, will be. But I was enjoying their performance as a manager, enjoying the technical performance, the fitness performance, and the mental strength performance. They detached themselves from the emotion of the game to produce things. And when you're smaller, which we are, you have to be really brave on the ball. You know, if you're playing against people 5 or 6 inches bigger than you. So I was really pleased with that, them as well. So, as I've said, it was a proud performance from us all, I think.
Of course, it was Chris Martin who came on with just a few minutes to go that grabbed the winner in the 89th minute or 88th minute on the clock. Of course, he's been the subject of boos from the Tartan Army. Boos when he came on last night. I want to get your thoughts on that one as well. Gordon Strachan clearly defending his player, as you would imagine, and having a bit of dig at those who come to watch football games.
Everybody here understands what he brings to a team. There's some people can't see it, which is understandable. I don't understand cricket too much, but they tell me there's some real good players there. I can't understand that. If you don't understand the game, then you have a problem understanding what players are all about.
I'm going to speak to Josh in just a second. Hugh, give me your, or Derek as well, just give me your own opinions on the booing of Chris Martin coming on the pitch.
Yeah, for me,
bearing in mind Mark McGee had said it the weekend, if you want to come along
exactly.
and boo as if you
That's
want.
What
yeah,
I was going to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, but yeah, Mark yeah. McGee was talking about players on the park during the course of the game. For me, to boo a professional coming onto the park is the ultimate humiliation for that professional. And for Chris Martin to rise above it and then score is great for him. He must have fought the urge to make a gesture or two to the crowd after he scored.
One of those
no.
ones.
I wouldn't have thought so. No.
But when the crowd are jumping up and cheering after booing him onto the park, they're jumping up and cheering the fact that they were unfair to that particular player.
Yeah.
And Gordon Strachan is always, as a long time Gordon Strachan watcher, Gordon Strachan is always contemptuous of his critics, be they pressmen, be they supporters, be they other managers. And I think he was contemptuous of the booing of Chris Martin. I'm quite sure that in his heart of hearts, he felt that that was humiliating for the player and unacceptable to him as Scotland's manager.
Yeah, I think it's unacceptable for any supporters to do that. But if that's how they're feeling at the time, they're frustrated like everybody else. You know, that they've watched their team play, and played not too badly, you have to say. They played reasonably well, the majority of them. They created enough chances to win 3 games, but it took them until the 88th minute. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe they maybe didn't want him to come on, Hugh. Maybe it was Jordan Rhodes that wanted to come on, and they were maybe booing the manager. We don't know. But everybody felt that it was Chris Martin that was being booed, and you're right, full marks to him for coming on and getting that goal, taking the one chance that he got. He might have been a wee bit fortunate, but it doesn't matter. We'll take the luck. We deserve to win the game.
Jerry, I said to you on Saturday, the fans have to be more demanding. They let the players away with murder at times, and I still believe that. But to boo a player coming onto the park to try his best for Scotland in the last minutes of the game, to pull the game out of the fire, because it was in the fire, he pulled it back out, to boo him as he comes onto the park, well, how daft did they look.
Well, now, I'm pretty sure that if he is in the starting lineup for the game against England, it will be boos turned to cheers when his name is mentioned, giving Scotland that lifeline. Paul on Twitter says Martin's goal may have saved Strachan's job, but it's doomed Scotland to two more years of mediocrity under the current regime. Peter Maley says still don't think we will qualify or even get a playoff place, but a bit of pride back last night. Yeah. Well done, Celtic, he says. Marcus Barry says, let me guess, Scotland go from rubbish failures to world beaters in one desperately needed goal. Keep it real. We're still poor. Thomas Murray says, tell Hugh Keevans it will soon be 34 for England unbeaten. The Big Shot says, we should move the England game to Celtic Park to generate an atmosphere and get on top of the English. And John Strzelecki says, well done Scotland, deserved win, and from the off we were the better team. Great debut for Armstrong, superb. Wish he was a Ranger.
You know, there was a lot of people said to me, you know, I cannot believe it, we've got two left backs, one playing right back and one playing left back, what a load of nonsense. Well, can I refer you back a few years when we had the two best right backs that Scotland have ever had in Sandy Jardine and Danny McGrain, and every manager there decided, no, we need the two of them playing so Danny could play at left back and play there, and Sandy played at right back. So, and I thought the two of them had a really good game as well.
Here's Josh in Irvine. Hi, Josh.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Hi, Josh. Your thoughts today?
Jerry, I'm a happy, hot and hungover Scotland fan.
All right, okay.
Last night was absolutely different class. Few just touching on the boos, absolute losers. Every fan that booed Chris Martin coming on needs to get himself a look in the mirror, because it's absolutely shocking. It's not acceptable to boo a player coming on the pitch in any circumstance. So I hope they're feeling pretty sheepish today and well into the big man for getting a goal. Just to touch on Armstrong, different class. Looked like he'd been playing for Scotland for years. I think he's definitely going to be a mainstay in the central mid position for the next few years anyway. He was just different class, and the way he set up the goal was fantastic. Also, to touch on Derek, you just mentioned about Tierney and Robertson. But I think that's that dilemma. That debate sorted on what one should start and what one should just play Tierney at right back, because he was different class as well. The only thing you would say about that is he's got to come in when he wants to put the ball in, but defensively he was absolutely class. I just thought last night we bossed him from start to finish and we were the deserving winners.
What we need to do now, Josh, is not get carried away. As I said at the very start of the programme, we are still in the high dependency unit. This is not over and done with on the strength of one win at Hampden last night. The England game, for me, is crucial. If we were to lose that game, I think we're back to where we started. Unlikely to qualify. So, for me, the next box to be ticked after the must-win game, the next box is beat somebody you're really not supposed to beat.
I can't disagree with that, Hugh, but at the same time, I just feel, as you say, we've ticked that box, we've finally won a must-win game. And I just feel that going into this game at Hampden, it'll be a full house again, no doubt. All the boycotters will be back in their numbers. And it'll be a full house and the atmosphere will be brilliant. See that England team that played? Uh-huh. That's the worst England team I've seen in years. So I think potentially there's a chance of an upset there.
But Josh, you're still undefeated, as the lads were saying.
And I remember we said all this.
They've not lost a goal in this tournament.
We said all this before the Wembley game and it was 3-0, Josh.
Well, we'll talk about Hampden, so what?
I love the optimism of the Tartan Army.
But I think the tweet that you read out earlier about us going from also-rans to world beaters in the space of 90 minutes, that's true. You have to be aware of the danger of doing that. You know, as you rightly say, in November we lost 3-0 to England and they absolutely toyed with us. Josh may think it's the worst England team he's ever seen, but they were just toying with us. And the last 20 minutes to be Scottish inside Wembley was torture.
Here's Jack Curry in Old Drumchapel. Now, Jack, you were at the game, courtesy of Super Scoreboard, I believe.
Yeah, I was. I won tickets on Wednesday night, so that was absolutely brilliant.
On Beat the Pundit. Now, when you went along there, Jack, did you go along thinking, well, I've got a couple of freebies here, it's a night out, that's fine. Were you expecting to see what you saw?
I think when the team sheet was announced, it was the first time in a good couple of years that you could sense a real sense of optimism around, you know, the Scotland fans with the team that Strachan picked. It was almost as if he went, I'm changing what I usually do and going with what the fans want to most of the extent. And having a goal scorer up top like Griffiths, we all first half, we just really looked like a goal threat. And I think as soon as he came off due to that injury and he brought Naismith, who isn't an actual striker, on, that was the point in the game where we just had the lull.
Mm.
You know, and that was back to the old Strachan where he would favour Fletcher up front, he would favour Naismith. You know, nobody that's going to get you a goal. But to be fair to him, he changed it again, brought on Martin, and he really, really made the difference.
There's a logic that Gordon Strachan followed last night, and it's very simple. These Celtic guys are on fire. Let's go with those who are on fire rather than those who are lukewarm. And he got full return. If Lee Griffiths had put the ball in the net instead of striking the bar, it would have been the perfect night for Gordon Strachan.
You had to gamble last night because it was win or bust.
Yeah.
And you're right, he's done the sensible thing. The players that are on form, put them in, and that's exactly what he's done. Yeah. And it's paid off for him.
So he didn't bow to fan pressure or anything like that. He bowed to logic. Who's on fire? Armstrong, first ever cap at full international level. And then the manager says, possibly the best debut he's ever seen. Who's on fire? Brown. All the talk about Brown wants to pick and choose. Well, so what? You know, he's still in there pitching for Scotland, and he was excellent last night. And Gordon, well, he's a virtual spectator. Tierney, outstanding in an unaccustomed role. So Gordon followed logic, and logic rewarded Gordon Strachan.
Even Scott Brown got booed at one stage. You remember just before the goal,
he passed the ball back,
and then he passed the ball out of the park, and they booed him. You're going, I mean, there's still a fair bit of time to go. It's the last thing you want to hear if you're a player is being booed by your own fans. Because, you know, your confidence is maybe a wee bit low as it is, but it sinks when that happened. You think the Scotland fans were no by now, right to the end. If you don't get the result at the end of the game when the referee blows his final whistle, then you're quite entitled to boo all you like. But when you're on the park and you've a chance of winning the game, you have got to back the players.
Yes, Jack?
I was just going to say, touch on the point of Scott Brown there. I just think that in my lifetime, I don't think there'll ever be a more influential player in a Scotland jersey than you'll see in Scott Brown. You know, from his play on the pitch to the, you know, his attitude and his leadership is just absolutely second to none.
Well, this,
you know what I mean, and I think it's the difference between noticing having him and Fletcher as the captain is just night and day.
Well, there's an interesting sort of subplot, if you like, to this now for Scotland and for Scott Brown and for Celtic, and it'd be good to get some Celtic fans to phone up on this one, because of course the game against England is on June the 10th, and with, you know, with Celtic Champions League qualifiers, and they, I think they're back to training just a couple of weeks after that. There is a big problem here potentially for Celtic and for Celtic fans who want their players to be fresh, want their captain fresh. Remember Scott Brown when he didn't get time to get the rest before, and he picked up injuries, and this was one of the reasons why he did retire from international football. Now the biggest game in his international career is happening right at the time where, let's be honest, Brendan Rodgers wants him on a beach somewhere
and
relaxing.
And maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the season's finished as well.
Brendan Rodgers is caught here in a trap, because the league will be won this weekend by Celtic, but he can't allow them time off because they have to play Rangers in the Scottish Cup semi-final on the 23rd of April. So the players will want to be ready themselves for that particular match. And then if Celtic have won against Rangers, then there'll be a Scottish Cup to look forward to. And there's still this matter of the Invincibles. Will they still be undefeated? So it's an awkward one for Brendan Rodgers, and I'm sure he's not really all that happy about it either.
0141 951 1025. When we come back, we'll hear from Stuart Armstrong, a man of the match performance from the Scotland debut, man, the greatest Scotland debut that's ever been, suggested the manager last night. We'll also get a travel update from Amber. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West. Be part of the debate. Call now, 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 26 minutes past 6 on Monday's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Stuart Armstrong, who says he may have put in a man of the match performance and set up the winning goal on his Scotland debut, but he's not taking his place in future squads for granted. The Celtic midfielder was one of six Hoops players in the starting 11 and slid the ball into Chris Martin to score late on. He was still holding his first international cap when he spoke to our reporter Gordon Duncan and says it was a proud moment.
Man of the match on your first start, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. But what, you know, it feels better to have contributed in a positive way to 3 points, which we needed, and to put us in a very good position in the group.
Contribution, none more so than at the goal, obviously. Just kind of talk us through. It was obviously getting quite frantic at that stage.
Yeah, it was back and forth at that stage. Both teams looking for that breakaway. Ketch has made a really good run on the outside just to drag that defender out, and Chrissy's held a really good position in the box, and he's done brilliant to turn and finish.
With everything that was on the line tonight, qualification hopes, potentially the manager's future, what's the feeling like when you go on and secure a win like that?
I think everyone knew it was a must win. I think we delivered. I think from the start we were great, created a lot of chances, dominated the game, and got what we deserved.
Now you've had the taste of it, I take it you're wanting many more of those caps here, Holden.
I don't like speculating too much, but you know, I'll keep plugging away at Celtic and see what happens. It's a proud moment to hold this, a proud moment for my family who are here to watch as well. So to cap that off with 3 points is great. Optimistically, I think we're in a good position. We've done really well tonight to bolster our chances, and we'll be really positive going into the next game.
Stuart Armstrong plays with a calmness, he plays with a control that clearly when you hear him speak, I mean, the guy's just played in a must-win game for Scotland, made his debut, scored man of the match, set up the goal, got man of the match, he's there with his first cap in his hand, and he just sounds as if he's taken it all in stride.
To say, as Stuart just did there, that he'll keep plugging away has to be the understatement of the season. I always remember Brendan Rodgers a few weeks ago saying of Stuart Armstrong, he's a super intelligent boy. And he plays like someone who is of high intelligence, and the way in which he gave Chris Martin the ball for the goal last night summed that up.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I think his whole game was good last night. I think he's running off the ball. I think he's pacing, and he was running by players. I can't remember him giving the ball away, which is important in international football. And to the run for the goal as well, when you look at him, he's got so many defenders around him. Mm. He's able to just that quick look and feed the ball in. Maybe a bit fortunate with the goal, but we don't care. We'll take it every day of the week. But he should be proud of that. And we're sitting in here thinking, well, Gordon said it's probably the best debut any player's had for Scotland. And we're racking our brains trying to think of somebody else, and we can't.
Right, here's Archie and Shawlands. Hi, Archie.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Archie.
Do you remember I called you last week and I said, why can't Gordon Strachan pick players with confidence? There's your answer last night. Them Celtic players, and I support Celtic, by the way, as you know, probably, those Celtic players were immense. See, those Slovenians, they must have wondered what hit them when they seen Kieran Tierney running by them. They must have thought, what the hell is this happening here? And James Forrest, the number of times that big Caesar guy knocked him down and flying, it reminded me of Jimmy Johnston playing against the Atletico Madrid and all that in the 70s. Scotland now have got players now. Now Gordon Strachan's seen this. It's not that we don't like Gordon Strachan, guys. I mean, look at the table right now. That is a joke. Slovakia, sitting second place. That's a joke. It should be us. And this is the reason why the fans are frustrated with him. He never picked the right players. At the start of the campaign, these players should have been in the team. And there's also other good players. You've got the O'Connors and the McLeans of Aberdeen. Two great players as well.
Well, you say, Archie, it's easy to say Gordon Strachan should have been playing these players at the start. But, you know, Hugh, you said yourself, you know, play the players who are on fire at the moment. Yeah. You know, were these players always on fire, though, going back in the campaign? Has there been an opportunity to do this?
This was the optimum moment for Gordon Strachan to get them in. They're absolutely sweet as a nut right now, all of the Celtic guys. So he put them in. It was the logical thing to do. And, you know, to say it's a joke that Slovakia are in second place, no, it's not, because Slovakia won the points and deserve to be there.
They're only there because we're not picking the right players. Stu, you keep saying the Scotland fans are against Gordon Strachan. They're not. It's frustration, and that's what I'm just explaining to you. How can we put on a performance like that last night? That's the best. See, in the first half, Lee Gervais could have had a hat-trick.
I have never said that Gordon Strachan is against the Scotland supporters or the Scotland supporters are against Gordon Strachan. I said Gordon Strachan is contemptuous of his critics, and he went into that match last night knowing that thousands of supporters and a large percentage of the press had written Scotland off and were anticipating that last night would have been Gordon's last day in the job. So that was the mood going into the game. I think that's why Gordon sounded the way he did after the game and said what he said after the game. But I keep on repeating, don't run away with yourself. He did the logical thing by picking six Celtic players. Slovakia, it's not a joke that they're in second place. In football, the league table only reflects who's been doing well and who's been doing poorly.
And I think I'm right in saying this: Slovakia was the only game of Sam Allardyce's England reign where they got the late winner.
Yeah,
England got
and
a late
lucky,
winner.
Lucky to get it.
Exactly. So Slovakia almost held England, and Slovenia did manage to hold England to a draw. So it's those kind of games that you were referring to, Hugh, at the start of the programme, that you need to get something from.
Yeah, and that's why I come back to it. A box was ticked last night. We did win the must-win game. The next box is the one that says, can you beat a team that nobody expects you to beat? Yeah. And that's England, June 10, Hampden.
Then the game after that, I mean, I think, and we spoke about this earlier, you know, if Scotland are going to finish in second place, you've got the feeling they've got to take at least a point at Hampden against England. I know that's going to be difficult, but if we take a point there, our next game is in Lithuania. You know, and with the momentum of that game, we might pick up something. The one after that, Scotland-Malta. I know we should only take one game at a time. We appreciate that bit. But there is a chance here. There is a chance that we can go up there and maybe finish second.
Being realistic about it, for Scotland to pretty much get second place, you're looking at getting a point against England and then winning the other four games. You know, realistically, to finish second. And then even then, there will be one.
I don't think they'll win all four, but they're capable of taking points from each of the games, Jerry. I'm certain of that. They can, if they get draws there, that might be it. Because remember, the teams Slovakia and Slovenia are going to be taking points off each other.
I know, but Scotland are going to have to win in Lithuania. They're going to have to beat Malta at home. They're going to have to beat Slovakia at home.
Giving themselves a chance. That's the bottom line.
Therefore, everything will stem from the England game. Yeah. Because if you beat England at Hampden, then you go to Lithuania absolutely full of self-belief.
Do you, interesting, because we had a difference of opinion before we came on, myself and Hugh. Derek, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. Because of what Chris Martin did last night when he came on, and the boost that will have given him, and also the way I imagine it will have turned the fans from being against Chris Martin to being for Chris Martin, do you think that Gordon Strachan should start him now at the home of his Hampden goal against England?
There's a long way to go before June. And we've just mentioned there, you know, you've picked all the Celtic players because they're on fire. I think you look, coming up to this game, how many of the strikers that Scotland have got have been scoring goals and playing regularly? They haven't. The only one probably is Jordan Rhodes, that's played a few 90-minute games. Everybody else is playing games here and there. So we'll need to wait until come the end of the season, who's playing well and who's scoring goals. Then that's the striker that you pick for it. It's too early to say, he came on in 6 minutes, he was on, he scored the equaliser. Yeah, fine. But
who knows, he might not get a game for Fulham now.
He might not get a game for ages, yeah, absolutely.
Here's John and Mary Hill. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for putting us on.
All right, John.
Two points, and I'll just be quickly with it. And it's not to have a dig at Celtic at all. That was like watching a bad Celtic team last night, to be quite frank with you. It was really poor. And to be honest with
you... It was poor, John?
Yeah,
poor.
I thought the game was poor. I thought Scotland get out a jail card, as he says. But touching on the six players that were playing for Celtic. Now, when Celtic were playing Barcelona, they got absolutely hammered at the game when they get beat 6-7, right? So seeing they come up against England, world class players, what's going to happen there? We're going to get beat 4, 5, 6, maybe.
Well, clearly,
is that what they're going to put out, 6 Celtic players?
Clearly, you'd quite like that, John, if that happened. So we're into,
see, I like it. I never said I like it. I would like it, sure, not at all.
The point you're making, first of all, you're saying that it wasn't good last night. Of course, it was good. They deserved to win. They played bravely and they overcame a week of being told that they were also ranked.
What was good about that game last night? Well, tell me a couple of things that was good about
it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. For a start, we had a game where Scotland created five or six goal scoring chances. When was the last time you could say that, John?
Well, I think Big Derek Johnson would have scored that one that came in. I would have probably scored it, and I'm 46, the one Griffiths missed.
Well, John, you sound to me like someone who is on here to have a go at Celtic. And we're discussing the national football team here. We're discussing the possibility or not of Scotland getting to the World Cup finals. You're giving us a club agenda here. You're going on about Celtic against Barcelona, which has no relevance whatsoever to this particular international tournament. And you're suggesting that if these six Celtic players are chosen against England, that something similar will happen. You sound as if you can't wait for it to happen.
Well, Scotland match winner Chris Martin says he's not paying too much attention to the fans who booed him at Hampden last night. The striker got a poor reception from parts of the Hampden crowd when he replaced James Morrison, a singer for a singer. But it was a different story 6 minutes later when he scored to seal the 1-0 win. He spoke to Gordon Duncan at full time.
Yeah, delighted. I don't really pay too much attention to that. Obviously, that's kind of the media side, and you've got to have a focus, I think, as a player on your own job and what you have to do. But yeah, I think we knew as players it was a must-win tonight, and we're just delighted to get over the line with a victory. And obviously it makes it sweeter for myself that I'm the one that scored the winner.
And sadly, you didn't get the best reception when you came on, which was obviously a bit of a shame. How did that feel, and how did it feel when, you know, a couple of minutes later when you managed to grab the winner?
I only was made aware of it after the game. I wasn't too sure about... I didn't know that there was... That was a tough reception when I came on. I was just focused on trying to help the boys out, trying to get a goal that we deserved during the game. So, yeah, I don't really pay too much attention to that. I was just delighted for the lads and for the manager as well. He's shown faith in me throughout the last couple of campaigns. So, yeah, delighted to repay the faith in him and get some reward for the hard work that we put in tonight and throughout this campaign so far.
Now, obviously, you would imagine a last-minute winner on a game like this is enough to at least win over some of the doubters then, would you not?
Who knows? I'm not going to tell them what they should be thinking or how they should be feeling. Hopefully they enjoy the 3 points tonight, and there's a bit more optimism heading into the England game now.
I think there will be, although not from Anthony Neil. He says Chris Martin scoring a lucky last-minute goal hasn't changed my opinion. He shouldn't be playing, pure and simple.
Well, I don't think that the goal he scored last night guarantees him a start against England. I really don't. No. There's a lot of football, as Derek said, to be played between now and then. And anyway, he wouldn't be the first choice, I don't think. So let's just give him due credit. He came on, he survived the abuse that he took on a personal level, and he scored the goal. So well done to him and well done to Scotland, because it was not expected.
Of course, as we said in the run up to this game, the best that Scotland could possibly hope for was to come out of the tie in fourth place, but a lot closer to second place, and that's what's happened. So the group just now, this is Group F, has England on 13 points, Slovakia on 9 points, Slovenia on 8 points, and Scotland on 7 points. Lithuania 5, Malta 0. Of course, it's not a guarantee that second place, and this is where you think surely Scotland can't find a new way to not qualify. One of the second places in one of the groups will not be getting a playoff spot.
Yeah. It's all second on many points.
Yeah,
they get.
Yeah, it's all second places bar one will get a playoff spot. But listen, fingers crossed, second place playoff.
Yeah, but last night did not guarantee anything, including second place.
No.
It was simply a moment where we took ourselves away from the gloom and doom and the despondency, and we got the result. Now we have to go on ticking those boxes.
More from Amber. She'll be ticking the travel box when we come back on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's just gone 7:15 on a very happy Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We love a Scotland win, and as we spoke about on Saturday, Hugh, there is nothing greater in football than a late winner.
Let's be honest, Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee must have been thinking, oh. You know, you look at that big clock there at Hampden and thinking, and you know, Griffiths has hit the bar when he should have scored, and all the other chances that have gone a begging. They must have been thinking, we're in trouble here. But cometh the other, cometh the Martin.
Absolutely. Now, listen, a lot of people say, you guys go out in Glasgow in the West, don't you? And we do, yeah, absolutely. But listen, we have listeners all over the world. and they phone us from all over the world. Sometimes we take calls from America, I've taken calls from Australia, I've taken calls from the Far East, and we're taking calls tonight from Slovakia. Yes, Richard is a Super Scoreboard listener. He calls us now and again from Slovakia. When it's relevant to talk Scotland, Slovakia, of course it is now. Richard, what do you reckon?
Well, I reckon we are still in with a big shout here, and I reckon the fixtures are going to work in our favour.
Right, explain us. Talk us through that one, Richard.
Well, I don't know, you know, Slovakia won yesterday, but they didn't play very well in Malta, so they've got their own issues. Slovakia often play well against teams they're expected not to play well against, and badly against teams they're expected to beat, kind of like Scotland. We were horrendous in Slovakia, but at the same time, look at the game. We've got a home game against England. We take anything for the game. We're in their shout because Slovakia and Slovenia have got to play each other again. They've both got to go to Wembley. I just cannot see either Slovakia or Slovenia getting anything at Wembley. Mm-hmm. And I think the game we've got in the meantime is like Malta. We can win in there. And so long as we're within touching distance in front or a point up and down behind Slovakia, when they come to Hampden Park in October, we can win that game.
Yeah, so as far as you're concerned, Richard, it doesn't really matter what Scotland do against England, but they've got to take maximum points against Lithuania away and Malta at home.
Well, yes, and then it's do or die against Slovakia, and then we go to Slovenia, but we've never lost. We've never lost in Slovenia, we've won there before. And to be honest, watching Slovenia, a lot of these guys apparently play in Italy and Germany, they're not that good.
Now, Richard, I should explain to our listeners that the last time we did speak to you was on the eve of the game in Slovakia, where Scotland had one of their worst performances in modern times. And you told me, the pundits and the listeners, that Slovakia were going through a little bit of a hard patch and Scotland could actually win.
Yeah, I believed that at the time. Mm. But then, for some reason, our backside just collapsed and we couldn't do it.
You see,
that's what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
What goes on, Richard? And you're quite entitled to take us through the remainder of the games and give us your impression. But it's open season now. Anybody can have a guess at anything. Anybody can say we'll beat England at Hampden, because this is the 27th of March. The game's not until the 10th of June. So you can say whatever you like. But for me, the sequence of games, Scotland versus England, followed by Lithuania versus Scotland, that sequence, I think, holds our destiny in its hands.
Very much so.
And I really do think we must. If we beat England, then there's momentum, there's impetus, the nation rejoices, etc., etc. And I will believe anything then if we beat England.
I'm just looking as well, Richard. You know, Slovakia have scored 10 goals. We've scored 7. They've only lost 3, and we've lost 8. You know, so they say that they are a decent side, but you're right, on the day, it's who plays well on the day will win it. You're absolutely right. But Scotland have got an awful lot of work to do. We gave ourselves a lifeline last night. That was the important thing, gave ourselves a chance. And Hugh's right, the next couple of games is going to be so important for Scotland.
Richard, I'm going to give you a pound, okay? And I'm going to tell you, you can put that pound on Scotland, Slovakia or Slovenia to finish second. So when it comes down to it, where's your money going?
My money's in Scotland. That's simple.
Good man.
I'm a Scotland supporter, right? I'm not going to turn about and say, because I live in Slovakia, I'm going to support them. I talk to all my friends here all the time, and they're like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm kidding myself on about how good the team is. Before the Euros last year, they were going to the semi-finals.
This is the Slovakians.
Aye, that's what they know my pals are like.
Richard, we've been kidding ourselves on for nearly 20 years now. Every time we get...
They've only been a country officially, properly for 20-odd years. Mm-hmm. So they're young. You know, they're allowed to do that.
Yeah, but
they've been to more major tournaments than Scotland.
But in football terms, we've been kidding ourselves on, because every time we get close, there's an outbreak of hysteria. Oh, we'll do this and we'll do that. And for the last 20 years, it hasn't worked out that way. So let's just play England and see what happens.
Listen, Richard, I'm loving your optimism. Thanks for calling us.
Cheers, Richard.
No problem.
All the best. Cheers. Aye. That's Richard, Super Scoreboard listener based in Slovakia. We've got them everywhere.
Absolutely.
The world's a small place on this programme. Now, one of Gordon Strachan's big calls at Hampden last night was to switch Kieran Tierney to an unfamiliar right back role, allowing Andrew Robertson to play at left back. A lot's been made of trying to fit both players into the side, given their impressive performances in the last couple of seasons. So, have we found a solution for future games? Well, Tierney was the one who had to play out of his comfort zone, but the Hoops defender says he enjoyed the challenge.
Well, obviously, we got told the squad yesterday, but I've been training there all week, so I kind of had a feeling. The manager and the coaches have been giving me pointers and that, so yeah.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. It was a good competition between me and their left mid and that, so yeah, enjoyed it.
Do you think this is something we can use going forward, you and Andy and the team?
Yeah, that's up to the gaffer. Whatever he thinks best and whatever he thinks the best team and gives the best chance of winning. So,
anyway, it clearly worked. So how does it feel in there to get a win like that with everything that was going on about the manager's future and our qualification hopes?
Yeah, it was brilliant for us all. It looked as if we got lucky the last minute winner, but I thought we were the much better team over the 90 minutes. We should have been a couple goals up in the first half, actually. So the full 90 minutes, we were great.
As for Andy Robertson, well, he picked up his 14th cap last night and told Gordon that he too would have been comfortable switching to right back.
Andy, just sum up how everyone's feeling after that.
I think it's one of relief. You know, I think first half we were bang at it. Should have probably been in two or three up, if I'm being honest. You know, Griff was, you know, gutted to never put them away. But, you know, that's football, and we moved on and we kept going in the second half. They came into it a wee bit more and we huffed and puffed a wee bit, but tonight was all about the win and we managed to get it.
The manager himself said it was a must-win game, a lot of speculation about his future. Had this gone wrong, does it feel like a big win?
It does. You know, obviously, any last-minute win feels like, you know, that wee bit bigger, but, you know, this one, there was a bit of pressure on us and, you know, we put the pressure on ourselves. We said, you know, it's a must-win and, you know, I don't think we head away from that. You know, the gaffer or the players that were speaking before the game, you know, we all said it was a must-win. So, you know, we're glad we've got the 3 points and, you know, now it opens the group up a wee bit.
Did you and Kieran have to toss a coin to see who was getting stuck at right-back?
No, I think the gaffer had, spoke to, you know, KT and he'd played all weekend kind of training, so we had a rough idea. It was just depending if he went with him, and he did, and you know, luckily I managed to stay left back. I think people were pre-match were maybe doubting that one of us could play right. You know, I think we were both confident that we could have done it, and you know, I'm sure Lee Wallace was confident that he could have done. You know, he just didn't quite make it with injury, but you know, I thought KT was good at, you know, brilliant out there and on the right, and it's, you know, it's uncomfortable for him, but you know, he didn't show, and you know, I thought I played well as well. So I thought as a defensive unit, the whole back four, you know, Charlie and Russell talked us through it. We're both still young, and you know, I thought all four of us done well, and obviously Craig didn't have much to do, but he was still commanding.
Do you feel just finally that you're back in the group now?
Yeah, of course. You know, we're only 2 points off second. We've got a massive game coming up next. We've got England at home, and you know, if we show that tempo and desire, then you know, you never know what happens. And then if we pick up points in that game, then you know, we're right back in it.
Of course, Andy Robertson, the last man for Scotland to score against England. Derek, how can a player go from playing left back his club to playing right back? How can it be done?
It's refreshing. That's what I was going to say to you. That's all right doing that. You know, if you're in your mid-20s or further on, you've had experience here, you can just change. There's two young lads. Either of the two of them could have played at right back. You know, you heard them say that. I think it's wonderful that you can do that. But, I mean, defending is exactly the same. The only problem you've got, if you're a left-footed player and you're playing at right back, is the obvious one. When you're attacking, you've always got to come back onto your stronger foot. Unless they're confident enough to put the ball in with their weaker foot. And that's the only thing. When you get to the byline, you're wanting that ball fizzed over. And maybe lack a wee bit of confidence, you know, with their weaker foot. But I think it's fantastic that the two of them want to.
Is it not a bit like
two of them as well. The two of them are good speakers as well.
Yeah, yeah. Is it not a bit like, you know, if you go on your holidays abroad and you get a hire car, and you by the time your holiday's finished, it's brand new, it's easy. You can drive on the other side of the road because you've been doing it for a fortnight. But the first couple of days, you're like, oh, and you can't quite work out.
Well, there's a big space. You can't chip the car into the box.
No, you know, I know exactly
what you're saying.
It's just uncomfortable
because they're not used to being there. Of course it is, but they're the same fullbacks. The job's the same. You defend and then you go and attack. The only difference being when you get to the byline, if you're good enough to hit it with your weaker foot into the box, then brilliant. If not, you get it back and onto your good foot.
Kieran Tierney has shown it wasn't uncomfortable. And I said to you on Saturday, I didn't want to see Ikechianya playing that defensive role. I'd rather have a nailed on defender like Kieran Tierney than a kiddie on defender like Ikechianya.
Right, 01419511025. That's the number to get through to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
Beat the
Pundit with Inside Sport in the Scottish Sun. The best news features and columnists every Sunday.
Right, well done to everyone who got through to Beat the Pundit last week and got tickets for the game last night. One of you, or maybe all of you, were Scotland's lucky mascot. So whoever it was, fantastic, well done. No tickets this week, but still get through and take on one of the guys on Beat the Pundit. Sporting general knowledge questions after your 7 o'clock news. Give me a call now, 0141 951 1025 if you want to play Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time to get off the fence and tell it like it is. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
0141 951 1025. That's the number to get through to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jerry McCulloch here with Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans taking your calls. You can tweet the show. We're at Clyde SSB.
Beat the Pundit with Inside Sport in the Scottish Sun. The best news features and columnists every Sunday.
Right, let's see who's on Beat the Pundit tonight. Let's speak to Darren Richardson. Hi, Darren.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Darren. How are you? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Darren, where are you calling us from?
Malta.
What? Malta?
Malta.
Malta. Listen, we've already been to Slovakia tonight in Scotland's qualifying group. Now we're going to Malta. Whereabouts in Malta? As if I know lots of places.
Bajiba. The area's called Bajiba.
Ah, right. I know it well.
Bajiba.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. What are you doing out there? Working, living, on holiday? What's happening?
Living. We moved here a few months ago and we're here now to stay.
And no regrets? Quite happy?
No regrets, not
right.
at all.
Now, you're not about to tell us that Malta are being completely underrated and they're going to be dark horses in Scotland's qualifying group, are you, Darren?
Only Vapor on a top four.
Listen, let's not be too... let's not joke too much about it. You never know what might... Imagine Scotland beat England and then get beaten by Malta. Anyway, Darren, you quite fancy a go at Beat the Pundit?
Yes, why not?
Why not? Absolutely. Looks like you got a couple of kids or at least one child in the background. But
can you hear that? Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Listen, we've got three in here as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And listen, if they know the answers and they can help you out, then even better. I'm going to toss a coin, Darren. If it's heads, then it'll be Hugh Keevans you're up against. If it's tails, it'll be Derek Johnson, okay?
Perfect.
Here we go. Coin is... That was a rubbish toss. I'll do it again. My goodness, that was rubbish as well. Third time lucky. It's tails, so you're up against Derek Johnson tonight, okay?
Okay.
Right, here we go. Sporting general knowledge questions for yourself, Darren. 30 seconds on the clock. Say pass as quickly as you can. Your time on Beat the Pundit begins now. Who scored the winner for Scotland last night?
Chris Martin.
Who headbutted the Wembley turf out of frustration during yesterday's England game?
Pass.
Which university side did Glasgow City beat to get into the semis of the SWPL Cup?
Pass.
In which position do Northern Ireland currently sit in their World Cup qualifying group?
First.
Which country is former Rangers defender Marvin Andrews from?
Pass.
How many points does Scotland have in their World Cup qualifying group?
7.
Who ended Morton's unbeaten run at Capello on Saturday?
Dumbarton.
Okay, I gave you an extra couple of seconds there, Darren, because I know there is a slight time delay for yourself in Malta. So, right, stay where you are in Malta. Right, Derek, you ready?
I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock, same questions. Time starts now. Who scored the winner for Scotland last night?
Chris Martin.
Who headbutted the Wembley turf out of frustration during yesterday's England game?
Oh, Vardy.
Which university side did Glasgow City beat to get into the semis of the SWPL Cup?
Edinburgh.
In which position do Northern Ireland currently sit?
4.
Which country is former Rangers defender Marvin Andrews from?
Trinidad and Tobago.
How many points does Scotland have in their World Cup qualifying group? Don't look at that bit of paper in front of you. Who ended Morton's unbeaten run at Capello on Saturday?
Dunfermline.
What is the nickname of Alloa Athletic?
The Wasps.
Okay. Darren?
Not sure. Don't feel very well.
I hope it's sunny in Malta.
It's sunny here.
Actually, we've had a beautiful day here, to be honest. Let's go through them. You both knew that Chris Martin scored the winning goal last night. It was Jamie Vardy who headbutted the Wembley turf out of frustration. Why did he do that, Derek?
He missed a chance.
Right. If you're going to headbutt something, then make it tough. That's fine. It was Stirling University. They were the side that beat Glasgow City. Northern Ireland are currently sitting second in their group after three wins and one draw. Marvin Andrews is from Trinidad and Tobago. Scotland have 7 points in the group. Morton were beaten by Dunfermline, Darren, not Dumbarton. And Alloa are called the Wasps. It was 6-2 to Derek, Darren.
Oh, a narrow victory, Darren.
Just the six.
But well done for coming on anyway. Well done, sir.
Listen, Darren, you can probably walk down the streets of Bujiba and not many people will take the mickey.
Thanks for that.
Absolutely. Listen, Darren, keep listening. Thanks very much for giving us a call.
Perfect. Cheers, thank Dan. You.
Thanks, all guys. All the best. That was Darren there in Richardson. And the management here heave a sigh of relief at not having to send a ball to Malta. It's 8 minutes past seven. You imagine Malta? What are you doing?
That's about £4.50.
Did we reverse the charges to him?
Yeah, there is that. Here's Kenny in Paisley. Hi, Kenny.
Good evening, guys.
Hi,
evening.
Kenny.
How are we doing?
All right, how are you?
Hi, good, good. Just about the game last night. We should take a bit of a positive note. It was a win. Yeah. It doesn't matter how you look at it, whether it was pretty or it was ugly, it was still a win.
Correct.
It's still 4 points. And
4 points? What?
3 points, sorry.
I missed something.
We were on four. We were on four, sorry. We were on four and we got three left.
I thought you got a bonus point for a last minute goal.
Sorry, wrong kind of football.
It was, okay.
But we should take something positive to last night. I mean, it was a win. Don't be negative. You know, I mean, it's everybody's good at coming on and slagging them off and everything else like that. Take something positive out of it.
Yeah.
It's a win.
They've given themselves a chance. That's the bottom line, is we've given ourselves a chance.
Exactly, Derek. That's
right, let's
exactly
go.
What it
well,
is.
Kenny, let's go through it then. Let's list the positives from last night. Right, Kenny, the stage is yours. I've got a pen and paper in front of me. See how many positives you can list from last night.
Right, well, positive, one. It was a win. Positive, we played as a team. We gave ourselves chances upon chances last night.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you that we can do it,
mm-hmm.
that we can play as a team, not as an individual up front or mm-hmm. a defender or a goalkeeper.
All right, number three.
I'm trying to think.
Well, you're the one that said let's take positives and you've given us two.
You can go with the individual performances.
I mean, Derek's helped me out there.
Aye.
I mean, there was... It's,
or Armstrong. Armstrong, yeah. Individually speaking, is clearly the arguably the biggest positive. If the manager can say he has never seen a better international debut, then that is clearly a positive. But, you know, Kenny, you're great. Come on. Instruct everyone on how to be positive, and you're absolutely correct. But you cannot look beyond the next game, because the next game is England. And for me, that game is pivotal. If we won that game, the whole complexion of the group changes.
The whole nation changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Last night was a down payment on something. We now have to come up with the remainder of the money.
That's definite. I agree with you, Hugh. We're too easy.
I think you're right, Dan. We're too easy to have a dig at Scotland. Every time they're playing, and there's always negatives. This time, there wasn't too many negatives. There were more positives in that game last night. The biggest one is the first one you mentioned. We won the game. And that was the most important thing. It doesn't matter if we were absolutely rubbish. We picked up 3 points last night, and it's given us a chance.
You sure it was 3 points, Derek?
Yes. I wish it was four, but it was only three.
I much prefer Kenny's theory. 4 points for a Scotland win, 3 points for everybody else.
That's it, there we go.
And 3 points for a defeat would qualify.
Aye, thanks a lot, Kenny. Kenny there in Paisley says, we've got to take positives on last night's performance and then could only come up with two. Anyway, we know there are more positives to that. One of the negatives, in fact, I'm keen to hear, is anybody going to own up and say, I booed Chris Martin? Is anyone going to own up and actually say, I was there and I did it, and either defend yourself or say, I'm really sorry, I now look back and I shouldn't have done it, or
maybe he's quite happy being good, he didn't think he should have come on.
You know, there's a lot of people saying, I don't think it was Chris Martin they were booing, it was Gordon Strachan's selection, it was Gordon Strachan perhaps
not bringing
on Jordan Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing though, Hugh.
I think they were booing Chris Martin because he's Chris Martin, and he had a very poor game against Canada at Easter Road. So I give him full marks for having risen above it all and scoring the winning goal. You know, it's over and done with. Mm-hmm. The only positive that we should be interested in is it was the win, 3 points, a glimmer of hope, a shaft of light, call it what you like. The England game is now everything. And depending on what happens against England, away to Lithuania, the next match could hold great potential for Scotland. But I think we have to beat England. And they are not, by any shadow, invincible.
Well, let's move on to that part of it, because next up it is England. Scotland lost to England, of course, at Wembley, 3-0. Hugh says they toyed with us. England will be favourites, even if it is a packed sellout Hampden Park with 50,000 Scots cheering and nobody booing. England will still be favourites. I wonder if, Derek, though, if there's a glimmer of hope for Scotland in the fact that it is in June the 10th. You know, we've got all these multi-millionaire superstars of English football. They're going to be miffed
for 2 or 3 weeks.
Having to play this game.
Yeah, unless they organise a game before it, you know, and play the game. But I'll ask you a question. Maybe the punters out there can answer it as well. How many of these Scotland players were getting England team just now? Yeah. We're all on about England are not the greatest. Yeah. You know, this is the worst England team for a long time. How many of our players were getting the England team?
Well, none. Because they've all been capped for Scotland.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to be difficult. How many of them were getting the team?
Not
very many. I mean, you're maybe looking at not even the right back, because I think Walker is the best right back I've seen. I just love him as a defender, love him going forward. You know, every part of the England team of their own song are better than us. They can defend, they can score goals, and their midfield's outstanding. We don't have that.
I take your point, Jerry, that's a pest for some players who would rather be in Dubai than in Glasgow on the 10th of June. However, there is a myth that Scotland beating England is the way it works, that we really are the country who desperately want to win that game.
Oh.
They love to beat us. And when they beat us at Wembley on the 11th of November, their fans were, as they say down south, giving it large.
You know what sums up you? I don't know if you watched it last night on the television. Paul Ince and McCoy's talking about the international games. Uh-huh. And Ince was giving him absolutely pale. Obviously, he doesn't like Scotland. And he was, when it was only when they scored the goal, Ali jumped up and Ince was laughing at him and everything else. You know, England are going to absolutely batter you and everything else. And that's the way they feel. But you're absolutely right. When we go down there, when they come up here, we are going to be up for it and it's going to be brilliant. They will be up for it big time.
Yeah.
They love going down south. And when the Scots in their dressing room will get absolute bellises, you know, when they go back for pre-season training, they want to beat us just the same as we want to beat them. So don't give us all that, well, it's England, we'll play better. Do they want to beat us? Do they really?
Because back in the day, Scotland and England was a competitive game, but it's not become competitive now. I get the feeling that England see Scotland as slightly irrelevant.
But there's no friendlies now. This is for something. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a group here, and there's a chance for England to qualify outright, probably, if they beat us. Nobody could catch them or whatever. They will still want to rub our noses in it. Don't worry about that.
We may be an irrelevance to them, but if Gareth Southgate loses the match, Gareth Southgate has to face his employers who say, excuse me, how did you contrive to lose to Scotland?
John Coss says they were booing Strachan because they were singing "You Don't Know What You're Doing" while bringing Chris Martin on. Yeah, they should have got Chris Martin to sing it.
James Morrison.
How can you boo and sing at the same time?
Exactly. How does that work?
Boo, I love you. Boo.
Anthony Neal says, I wasn't there. I only saw the highlights. I know he scored, but I still booed him when he came on. Shouldn't be playing at all. Simple, Jerry. I admit it, says Peter Maley. I booed Chris Martin, but I've never liked Coldplay, says. I got the wrong guy. I feel bad now. Here's Finlay in Straven. Hi, Finlay.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Finlay. How are you?
I'm good. I was just wanting to go back to a point that Derek had put earlier, saying that the strength of the Scotland squad seems to be in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, would we not think to try the follow the Spanish example of putting a filler midfield, keeping with midfield players and not play with a recognised striker?
Is this the Craig Levein stuff, the 4-6-0?
Well, if it works, then why not try it, Derek?
Yeah. I don't think we would get away with something like that. We've always got to have one person. The reason I don't like that is there's no out ball at all. If you've got six men in midfield, you know, you've got to keep passing the ball about. There's not a front man that's going to, you know, hold the ball up or score goals. I don't think we've got enough good midfielders, six good midfielders that can play in that position for a start.
We did try it. It was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Why would we go back to it?
Yeah.
Well, it's an embarrassment and you're drawn to Canada, is it not? I mean, it's worth a try.
No, Canada...
I mean, you try something once,
Canada
you're not
was
going to get far, but if you try something a few times, then...
The most important thing was Canada, A, was a friendly, and B, was irrelevant, and we came to, after a very poor performance, we came to at Hampden and delivered in a competitive match when it was... Life or death.
I don't think another Scotland manager would get away with playing something like that. Craig Levein did it, and he's been absolutely slaughtered ever since, you know, for doing it. Because remember the last 10-15 minutes of that game when we lost the goal, he actually threw two men up the park, and with two or three great chances to score.
The night lost him his job. That night lost him his job. He was never forgiven. So to say, let's try that again. We don't, as Derek said, we don't have the players to play that system anyway.
And yet, you know what? He played Stephen Naismith that night. It was a communication problem, and Craig Levein, I think, has said it since then. All he had to do was actually just say, yeah, Stephen Naismith's the striker, and then just play the game the way you play the game, because there was a time last night where Stephen Naismith was Scotland's striker.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
we
threw ourselves a lifeline last night, and come the following day, people are saying, let's change everything now. Let's just...
I think, Finlay, do you realise that Scotland played last night and won, or are you still thinking Canada was our last game?
No, obviously I realise they played and won. I didn't think Canada was the last game, but I think it's, if you're looking at the team overall and the performances, especially lately, there won't be anything great to write about.
No, it would be nothing. But you're right in the sense, I think that the strength that Scotland have got is their unity at times. But midfield, I think we've got decent players. I think defensively we're poor. In the heart of the defence we're poor. And up front I think we're poor as well. We're creating chances, wonderful to see, but we've got to start sticking them away. That's the only way we're going to get places, if we can get players to put the ball in the back of the net.
It's interesting. Sorry, England. Can you imagine playing England and say, look, what we'll do is we'll go six in the middle of the park and nobody out there. Setting fire to Hampden.
It was interesting because the Canada game, of course, allowed Gordon Strachan the chance to give a few players one final chance to kind of play themselves into the team from last night. And after the game, Gordon Strachan, despite the draw, said, you know, no, it was great, it was invaluable, because it showed me a few things for Sunday. When you look back on it now, it clearly showed him
negatively.
It showed him that he was going to play Tierney at right back and not Anya.
Absolutely.
It showed him that he was possible. Probably showed him that he wasn't going to put Berra with Mulgrew. He was going to put Martin, a right-sided player, with Mulgrew. And ironically, it probably showed him that he wasn't going to start Chris Martin.
Yeah, all of that true. Everyone thought that when Gordon spoke after the game at Easter Road that all of his comments were just to deflect attention away from how bad the performance had been. But you're right. He was factually correct when he said, I've had two or three pointers there now. Mm-hmm. Got a clearer idea. And all of the pointers you've just mentioned there are the ones that were in his head.
Apart from the fact Chris Martin then come on and score the winner. But hey, that's what happens. 21 minutes past 7, I'll be setting the full-time teaser. When we come back, it's Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Football is all a matter of opinions. Call now to share yours on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.
25 past 7 on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to Billy Gaddy in Tory Glen for sending us in tonight's full-time teaser. Billy emailed me fulltime@clydeone.com. Still needing some more questions. Getting a lot through, not too many decent ones, I'll be honest. I like questions that are interesting. I like questions that aren't too difficult, not too easy. Questions that make you go, oh, I really want to know what the answer is to that one. And so this is a good one, and I thought tonight. Billy Gaddy says, here, guys, there have been 10 English players capped by England while playing in Scotland. But can you name them? 10 English players capped by England while playing for a Scottish club. Can you name all 10 players? I'm sure you can name a few off the top of your head. Paul Gascoigne,
Terry Butcher.
Terry Butcher.
Woods.
Chris Woods.
Stevens.
Gary Stevens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trevor Stephen.
Trevor Stephen, another one.
Alan Thompson.
Alan Thompson, another one. Got his one cap while playing with Celtic.
Maybe we got.
Well, you've got six already, so you've only got four to get. Do you want to take a wee break there? And we'll come back break, and, yeah.
We don't want to embarrass you by giving you the 10 right away.
I knew there would be a lot that you would get straight away. We'll see. 27 minutes past 7, but will you get all 10 of them? That's probably the question. Not. Here's Justin in the city centre. Hi, Justin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
Not too bad after an exceptional long bus journey back to Edinburgh, but not too bad. Any one of you laughing?
Was it getting out of Edinburgh that was a problem?
They don't like cousins. They don't like us Glasgow boys.
They don't like traffic. They don't like cars. They don't like buses in Edinburgh.
They don't like anything, to be fair.
No.
He's right though, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Just a wee point. We've been talking about the strikers in Scotland's kind of lack of firepower, if you like, or being able to put the ball in the back of the net consistently. And Scott Brown coming back from a sabbatical, if you like, let's talk about him being able to pick and choose the games he wants to come back for, which I don't necessarily think is the case. But do you not think there's a case for Kenny Miller coming back into the squad? Or even certainly been kind of persuaded to come back into the squad?
Do you think it was apparent last night that Scotland somehow could have done with Kenny Miller?
To be honest with you, watching the game last night and seeing where we are, I don't think it's just his goal scoring ability, which he's still proven he can do. I think he's got a kind of big game mentality to be able to dig in and fight. And I think he's this season above anything else. I'm a Rangers fan, obviously, but above anything else, I think he's shown his ability to be able to lead people around about him and drag games about, which I think we're desperately needing, as well as Scott Brown.
England being the next game, my mind immediately goes back to Kenny Miller at Wembley playing against England, scoring a terrific goal.
It turned him inside out the whole game.
It's a difficult one.
A lot of water's gone under the bridge since then. He's been outstanding for Rangers this season, absolutely outstanding. The next game's not until June. It's up to Gordon Strachan.
If he's playing well enough and he's scoring the goals, then I think he would have to be considered. If other strikers are not doing it, I mean, we just spoke about them, the four or five strikers that Scotland have got, there's very few of them playing week in, week out, and there's very few of them scoring goals. You just got to look at England, you. Do you mean Defoe?
Yeah.
Coming up for his 35th birthday and he's been brought back, scored his goal there, his experience helped. You know, I think it might be something that he might look at. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if strikers are not doing the business between now and June, and Kenny Miller is, then who knows?
Do you know, there was a period in the game last night, Justin, where I actually did think about Kenny Miller, and that was there was a lull in the second half, and Lee Griffiths had gone off, Naismith had come on, and there was a period of about 20 minutes where it seemed like there was just the movement was lacking in Scotland from mid to front, and at one point in the game I thought, do you know what, Kenny Miller would be good in a situation like this,
because that's what he's doing really well. He's doing that. His movement off the ball has been fantastic this year.
It still to me, it looks as if, I know he's 37 and or 38, whatever else, but he still looks as if he's got that yard of pace in his head above people running about him. And I think, as I said, something else that Scotland's maybe lacking a wee bit in the now that we've been used to for a while was leaders.
Yeah.
Brown's obviously one, which is why he's getting brought back. He's a good player, but I think Miller up front, leading for the front like that as well, could only be a benefit.
In a sense, it's almost unfair on Kenny Miller, though. You know, to bring him back at this stage of his career and at this stage of the qualification group and say, right, go on then. You're a big game guy.
You would take it in a heartbeat. No danger, Kenny Miller.
Well, in that case, it's down to the manager then.
Yeah.
Do you think he's
going
to get the chance to do it, though?
But listen, there's a lot of things to happen between now and June until we play England, you know. And if the Rhodes boys scoring goals and Martin scoring goals and Lee Griffiths back in the Celtic side and scoring goals, then he'll feel he's got enough firepower there. But if that's not happening, you know, and they're not getting all that many games, and Kenny Miller can keep going and keep doing what he's been doing for the last 3 or 4 months, then there might be a chance. He might look at him. He might have a look at him and say, well, why not? A wee bit of experience there.
So
I wouldn't say no to it. I mean, it's probably highly unlikely, but yeah, I would. If he's playing well enough, and he's, we've just said, you play players that are confident and that are playing well, and if he's playing well, then why not?
Thanks a lot, Justin, there. We're going to speak to Dell in a second. Jamie Davidson says, I was in a pub in Clydebank when Chris Martin came on. Everybody booed. 5 minutes later, he was a hero. The joy of football.
It's all right booing in a pub, you know. But if you're at Hampden, I don't believe Chris Martin when he says that he wasn't really aware of it. He had to be aware of it. So as I say, if you're in the pub and think, oh, that's ridiculous, okay, but he can't hear you in the pub. But at Hampden, I think it's a line that you do not cross to boo a player coming onto the park. He is representing our country. You, the crowd at Hampden, were there to cheer on our country. There's nothing wrong with it. If you think they're rubbish and you boo during the game, during the course of the game, fine. But to boo a player coming onto the park, I think, is unacceptable.
I would slightly disagree with you. I don't think it's necessary that he heard the boos when he came on. He's concentrating on what he's doing. He's on the park. He's running on there, knowing exactly what he's got to do. And I don't know, there are times, I mean, he said that himself. He says it was only after the game when somebody asked a question they were booing me. He says, I was never aware of that. I can understand that. Honestly, I can understand that. If he does hear the booing, he maybe thinks it's not for him. Is there something else that's been happened? He maybe wouldn't have been aware of it. That's what happens in games like that. It's concentration. You've got to concentrate. You've got 10 minutes. You've been sent on as a striker to try and change the game. That's the reason that you've gone on. So the concentration level is there. So you maybe haven't heard what's going on around you.
Shouting and swearing at a player and chanting negative things and shouting, you know, abusive songs at players is clearly unacceptable. Is there a certain kind of pantomime aspect to booing which we go over the top with?
No, there isn't.
You know, as I said earlier,
at the end of the game, had that finished nothing each, then you would have heard boos. Don't worry about it, probably the most boos a Scotland team has heard in many, many years. If Scotland had drawn that game, you would have heard that. And I don't mind it after the game. Don't do it during the game, because players, the last thing that players want to hear is boos from your own crowd, because that's not going to spur you on. But after the game, if it's not worked, then the fans are entitled. They've paid their money. They've watched something they're not happy with. So the boo, not a problem whatsoever after the game.
When I'm out in public, Jerry, I hear the sound of cheering and booing. And those who are cheering are cheering the ones who are booing.
Well, Jamie says he booed in the pub, but then again, as Derek knows, there's lots of boos in pubs. 25-8. Here's Dell.
Hello, guys.
Hi, damn away home after that. Can't beat that.
No, you can not. No, you can try.
Well, you can. But...
How are we doing, guys?
How are you doing?
Good, good. Hi, it was on the back of the Scotland game last night. I'll admit, hands up, I got it completely wrong. I, like many, thought we were going to get turned over and be quite embarrassed again. But, like I say, by full time, I was quite pleasantly surprised that I was wrong. You know, it was one of the best Scotland games I've seen for a long time. And that's the first game I've watched all the way through for a good couple of years with Scotland. The last one was the one we won 1-0 away to the Czech Republic, 2013, I think it was. And like I say, I was just totally taken aback with how well they played. And I think it's got something to do with the six Celtic players in there. I think their winning mentality and the kind of the high, the buzz that they're on. Obviously, I mean, Tierney was amazing at right back. You know, as soon as I saw the team sheet come up and he was at right back, I thought back to McGrain and the Rangers boy that they couldn't play at the
Jordan.
Same time. Aye, because they were the same position, you know. And like you said, I'd rather have a defender there than Ekechi Anya, who is a cracking wing back, I suppose, on his day. But, you know, Tierney, I thought, was immense.
Fraser Wishart called it on Saturday. Hugh, I don't know whether he had an inkling from inside the camp or whatever, but when we went through who we would play in the teams on Saturday with all the pundits at the games, Fraser Wishart was the one who said, you simply just have to play all the Celtic players.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, you play Kieran Tierney at left back, what about Andrew Robertson? He said, no, I play Tierney at right back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I was the only one in the studio on Saturday who did not pick Anya in my team. I said Tierney because some defensive qualities are needed. And with the greatest respect to Ekechi Anya, he's not a natural defender. So for me, it was logical for Gordon Strachan to do what he did. And if Canada and the 1-1 draw had any benefit, it was simply to say, right, we've had a terrible night. The press and the fans are on our back now. We've got this must-win game. The manager has already called it must-win. We're just going to have to trust in logic and put in the six Celtic players. Gordon Strachan trusted in logic, and logic rewarded the manager.
But you know, whether it's six Celtic players or not, he had to play the players that were in form. We've said that. No, it doesn't matter who they are or what clubs they're playing for. If you're on form and you're playing well, you're defending well, you're doing well in midfield, you're scoring goals, you're in the side. And as it happens, Celtic are the team at the moment have got players on form. So he was quite entitled to do that. I know there are a lot of people are unhappy with that, but listen, that was, he got the result. Whether you think that was right or wrong doesn't matter. They created a lot of chances. We didn't take them. They created one chance, if it was a chance. You know, and we got the goal in the 88th minute. We've got the 3 points. So the manager was right. The manager should be getting a wee bit of respect today. He hasn't had an awful lot of that before. He's been negative. Sorry, Hugh. But he should get praised for it. They've won the game 1-0, and he's given everybody in this country a chance, you know, to qualify.
The name of the club is irrelevant. It happened to be Celtic. If it had been six West Ham United players, then that would be fine as well. It happens to be Celtic, and Celtic have dominated domestic football here this season, and all of the players in the squad were there on merit, and it was the logical thing to do.
There was another element to last night's game as well, Del, which I think even Slovenian journalists didn't expect. I don't know if you heard the news conference for Goran Strachan on Saturday, when a Slovenian journalist said to him, and he got a rather curt response when he suggested that Scotland would perhaps have a more aggressive approach than Slovenia, and Slovenia were technically a better side. It was the exact opposite of that last night, especially when you saw the booking count.
Definitely. I mean, for me, watching it last night, it felt really much like watching this kind of a Celtic game for me last night, because the style of play I thought was very similar, and obviously with the Celtic boys all through the team, you know, it did kind of, it wasn't like it felt like watching a Scotland match over the past few years had felt like, where some of the guys you're looking at, and you're lucky if you've seen them coming on as a sub-one match of the day, or even on the Championship programme, you know, but like I say, I mean, I think Gordon Strachan picked his team and set it up superbly last night. They all stuck to the game, saw it through, and if you can take that kind of that spirit and that fight into the England game, then I don't see why we couldn't get a result.
Do you think, Derek, that Slovenia completely got it wrong last night, that they didn't think Scotland were capable of putting in that kind of quality performance? Slovenia, so as long as they matched them physically, they would get a point.
I think Slovenia have arrived at Hampden Park last night and said, we'll just get everybody back behind the ball. Scotland don't have what it takes to get through a packed defence. That's been proven in the last few years. And we know that as well. And they sat back. They did very little up front. That's why our two centre-backs never had really a thing to do, to be perfectly honest. So they sat back. And Scotland, that's why Scotland did really well, because they picked holes in that defence. They created chances. You know, and they did well to create as many chances as they did with a team that had everybody back behind the ball. I think with 88 minutes gone, their manager will be saying to his players, keep it going, well done, this has been fantastic. If we can hold on, especially down to 10 men, we get a point out of this at Hampden, this will see us on our way. You know, and then they've lost the goal.
0141 951 1025. Thanks very much to Dale giving us a call from the Kyle of Lochalsh, just over the Sky Bridge, isn't it?
Correct.
This side.
Yeah, because the sky's everywhere.
The other side's sky, isn't it?
The sky's everywhere, you know.
Full-time teaser tonight sent in by Billy Gaddy. He says, can you name me the 10 English players who have been capped by England while playing for a Scottish club? So far, you've given me six of them. Just off the bat, Terry Butcher, Paul Gascoigne, Trevor Stephen, Gary Stevens, Chris Woods and Alan Thompson. Any others you want to throw in?
Shugs, are you thinking? I'll give you ones. Maybe it's not. Michael Ball? No.
No.
Trevor Francis?
No.
Sinclair?
No.
Did Gary Hooper get a call up?
No.
No.
Oh, I thought you would have got a lot more than just the six. Because you're on the right track with the other ones. Yeah. Think of the same eras
I know.
All the rest of it. Right, more when we come back on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What do you think of tonight's Super Scoreboard? Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
What did Terry Butcher, Paul Gascoigne, Trevor Stephen, Gary Stevens, Alan Thompson and Chris Woods all have in common? I'll tell you, they were all capped by England while playing for a Scottish club, but so were four other footballers. Who are they? That's the full-time teaser tonight from Billy Gaddy. Email your full-time questions to fulltime@clyde1.com. Billy, you seem to have flummoxed Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson.
I can't think.
I'll give you a clue, guys. I'll tell you, of the four players left, you have three clubs.
Oof. Three clubs. So
three different clubs. So there is at least one of these players from out with the Old Firm.
Since when?
Since.
Just since.
Joe Baker.
Who is he?
He played for Hibs in England.
Good shout. That's definitely one. You well done, old fella.
Well done, Hugh.
Well done.
Joe Baker was a hip striker.
Terrific.
He was actually the first player to have been capped for England, having never played for an English club.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah. Well done, Chugster.
Well, there you go. Hey. Well, let me tell you, you've got the hard one. So there are three that if you don't get, you will kick yourself from here all the way home. Let's get back on the phones and speak to Norrie and Bargerry. Hi, Norrie.
Hi, good evening, Jerry.
Hi, Norrie.
You and Derek.
Hi, Norrie.
Yeah, I'd like to put a wee positive twist on the match watch last night. I thought Scotland were actually outstanding. I thought they were running for the first whistle. They got the whole thing done right. Gordon Strachan was under pressure. And see, that's very fact that the excuse me, they turn and say Scotland, oh, this is a must-win match, must-win match. The guys done that last night. And I think they've been a wee bit kind of below par sometimes, and they maybe a wee bit unlucky. I'm just looking at the fixture, and future for Scotland. I can't see why Scotland can't win their last five matches. What does the guys think of that?
Well, you're beginning with England at Hampden, and you think that's a...
Of course.
Yeah. Well, as I
say... No, I'm not sure you're guaranteeing this. Why can't we beat them?
Yeah, as I say, it's open season because this is the 27th of March and the England game's not until the 10th of June. So you can say what you like about that game or the four that follow, but we just have to negotiate these matches now. It's very easy to say, why not? And I have said myself that England, for me, are no great shakes. They're certainly not a vintage England side, but they have, to give them credit, gone 33 qualification matches in a row without losing.
The only game I think we'll be comfortable with will be the Malta game at home. I think that's a stonewall certainty. That's a 3-pointer, no danger whatsoever.
Yeah, but that's the same for everyone in the group.
But the other ones, Lithuania. Lithuania, you know, they're quite capable of getting a draw there. Scotland can go there and get a draw. Slovenia is the one, a Slovenia away as well. And Slovakia are a decent side.
Scotland can go nothing, to...
That's the only one I would say. Yeah. We've got 3 points. The rest, exactly, you're going to have to battle to get anything
Scotland
from.
Can't go to Lithuania and get a draw and hope to get second. No. Got to win that.
They've got to win a couple of them. I agree with that totally.
Back in, Paul.
Yes, Norrie.
Well, that's what I'm saying here. It's as if in Butchman. Okay, we go over... last night was like a knife to your throat. You have to win this match. Like, we've done that. Now, Hugh just touched on it as well. The fixture with England is in June. I'm not saying any guys are going to put down tools. I'm not saying we're going to be more up for the name, and we all touched on this. Of course, Scotland, England, it's traditional, that type of match. But the passion the guys showed last night, come on, that's what it's all about.
Gordon Strachan, traditionally, Norrie and Hugh, hasn't liked to put undue pressure on the players by saying it's a must-win game.
Yeah.
But he did this time and it worked.
It worked, yeah.
Do you think he maybe thinks, well, actually, I'll do that again?
Listen, when we play England, you don't need to say a thing.
You need motivated for an England game. You shouldn't be anywhere near it.
You don't need to say a thing. There will be rainforests cut down to provide the amount of paper needed to satisfy readers of daily newspapers about this game. The country will stop that day. It will literally come to a halt. 5 o'clock kickoff. Rest of the night to enjoy yourself if Scotland win. It will be a sensational day. However, the history of the last 19 years since we left France in 1998 and have never been at a major final since, the history of the last 19 years tells you that you cannot look beyond that game. And you certainly cannot look at five games in a block and say, we will win all those games because we'd not like that.
Listen, in the European Championships, it's just gone by. With three games left, we looked at stonewall certainty to qualify you.
Collapsed.
And that's what happens. Yeah. That's what we watch.
Scott is in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jerry. Good evening. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Dick.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. I don't know if you remember, Jerry. I was on the start of last week, so I was one of the Scotland fans.
You slated them?
No, I don't think I slated them, Jerry. I think I just pointed out that I believed it was going to be the usual. We would keep possession and we'd fail in the final third. Now, I was proved wrong because we did score a goal in the last 6 minutes. Absolutely great that we scored that goal. I don't know if you remember, Jerry, as well, because at one point I thought you said that it was actually, who's the other guy who was on the panel here that night? Roger. When Roger was mentioned about play some Celtic players, and I mentioned at the time, even though I'm a Rangers fan, I says I would put every Celtic player Scottish in that team. I says because they've got the winning mentality there, the facts are there that the best players right now in the country, it doesn't bother me if there was 10 Celtic players in it. It's all about Scotland, it's not about Celtic, it's not about Rangers. And I think they need to get a wee bit of praise that they did get a result. All it was in the last 6 minutes. It would have been better if it was a wee bit more comfortable way. Would you call him
Griffiths?
The first, Griffiths missing the first two goals. My only, I don't want to spin a wee negative here. I think everybody get past marks. The only one that let me down slightly a wee bit was Snodgrass. I thought he could have been a wee bit better. But anyway, it doesn't matter because we won the game.
Yeah.
There was another point I was going to say to you as well. See this, going back to, it was a must-win game last night. Mm-hmm. I don't like that, just a one-off game being a must, a one-off game. I think every single international game should be a must-win game. We should look at it with that attitude, because I have heard Gordon Strachan and McGee in the past game saying, we don't need to win this one, or this isn't a must-win game. They should make every, he should have that attitude to the players every time we go to an international. And I believe what a difference that would be, that every single game is a must-win game. But I'm just glad that we won last night and really looking forward to this game against England, because if we get beat last night, then it would just be pretty much a friendly.
That's why it was a must-win game.
to be fair to Gordon Strachan, he's asked a question in the context of this match and where the group is at the moment. How do you see this? And he said, yeah, it's a must-win game. So, you know, it's not that he doesn't believe that every international isn't vitally important. He's had 35 of them now as Scotland's manager. I'm sure he's approached all 35 in the same manner. But he was asked a question in the lead up to this particular game, and in particular after the woeful performance against Canada in Edinburgh. And he's given an honest answer. Must win game.
Thanks a lot for your call, Scott. Right, full-time teaser quickly, guys. I'm looking for four more players who played in Scotland but were capped by England while playing in Scotland. You've already given me Joe Baker of Hibs, who was a hard one. You've given me Terry Butcher, Paul Gascoigne, Trevor Stephen, Gary Stephen, Alan Thompson and Chris Woods. We're looking for two more Rangers players and one more Celtic player.
Right, we need initials.
No, you don't.
We do.
No, you really don't. Initials. I'm not giving you initials. Right.
Honestly,
right. Come
we need
on.
Initials.
The initials are SOS. Yes.
Right, let me give you some clues then. I'll tell you. The Celtic one, you'll kick yourself because it's the most recent. Still plays for England, but doesn't play in Scotland anymore. Was capped by England while playing for Celtic. In goal.
Oh, Fraser Forster.
Fraser. Dear me.
Told you, you'll kick yourself. And two Rangers players. So we're going back a bit, of course, but not back too far, but back to that period where there were a number of English players playing for Rangers. Teammates of the guys that you've already mentioned there.
I need initials.
One winger, left foot, bit of a wand of a left foot. And another target man. A straightforward target man.
Did he play for Spurs?
No. Played for Rangers.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. In England.
Before he played for Rangers. No, give us initials. I'm good at initials.
Derek, you're going to kick yourself.
Oh, I know I'm.
M.H.
Mark Avery.
Oh!
And the final one, winger, left foot. It's another Mark.
Walters.
Oh! Oh, that's horrendous. Shug, I'm disappointed. You get Joe Baker
and didn't get Fraser Forster. Thanks very much to Billy Gaddy. Full time teasers to full time at Clyde1.com. Thanks to Hugh, thanks to Derek, thanks to everyone who listened and phoned in tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna taking your calls. Keep it on Clyde 1. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Night night.
Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.